All right, so this next section we're going to do is talk about the pardons. Now, I will say this. That, you know, if you had asked me a few years ago, is there really a two-tier justice system? I'm an attorney. I've been practicing law for 20 years, over 20 years. And if you had asked me, you know, even a few years ago, if I thought that justice, if there's a two-tiered system, I'd have said no. And then 2020 happened. And then the Get Trump happened. And then the Democrats learned they can actually use, like, lawfare. This is amazing. And you began to see what I think is an absolute effort to create a two-tiered justice system. And it's sick. And then on top of that, you also look at the pardon power. Now, the president has pardon power, and I understand. So do governors. Governors can pardon on state issues, and they do all the time. I think they do it sparingly, and I think they do it, generally speaking, with good intent. I don't see that in Biden right now. Biden has done blanket pardons in recent days over, I want to say something like 1,800 pardons in a matter of days. So much so that you know that there's no way he sat there and individually signed each one. So either A, they're allowing digital signature on this, and it's click, 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 and somebody's doing it for him because he's not going to sit there and do it. Or B, they put a list in front of him and said, sir, if you'll sign right here, this will be considered an omnibus pardon for all the names on this list. Which clearly indicates, if that's the case, that there's not a lot of great deal of thought and effort and, for that matter, study put into it. This is not the way it's supposed to go. And then you look at some of the ones who are in there. But then you also look at what Trump is still going through. Like, for instance, I got this, and I'll lead off with this. Before I even get into the pardons, I got to say, here's one from Just the News. In case you have not heard, last night, despite the Supreme Court already ruling about presidential immunity, Judge Mershon, who has been the judge in Alvin Bragg's case against Donald Trump, the one that resulted in the so-called 34 counts of felony counts of conviction, 24 felony counts being rendered to conviction, the judge declined to drop the case. He's going to let it go forward. We learned that last night. Judge Juan Mershon ruled on Monday the Bragg case related, quote, entirely to unofficial conduct entitled to no immunity protections. So in other words, Supreme Court decision did not matter to him. He's letting it go forward. Okay. When I read you in a few minutes some of the people that just got pardons from Joe Biden, and then you hear this about Donald Trump, about a case in which there were no damages, There was no one saying I was the one who was harmed. The claims are that in some way he falsified records, and yet the evidence showed, and oh, by the way, there was evidence that should not have been allowed in. You're looking at a case right now where it's like, this can't stand up. And yet the judge is going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to let it go forward. Meanwhile, some of the ones who are getting pardons from Joe Biden, it's really pretty sick. I'll tell you about it when we get back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. Y'all talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, we have some announcements coming in the near future I'm pretty excited about. We'll share those with you at the appropriate time. But just know this, Right Side Media is the name of the company. Right Side Radio, you're listening to right now, Right Side Radio is just one production of Right Side Media, the company. So we have Right Side Radio daily, 3 hours a day. We have podcasts. We have literally four video podcasts that are now being made by four different people. I'm one of them. Emily Jones, who founded Moms for Liberty in Alabama, has a new podcast called The Controversial Mom, and that one comes out Sundays, and we had a most recent edition come out yesterday, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And then we also have the the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson, who's an amazing guy, who does great work in interdicting human trafficking and that kind of thing. His Liberty Minute podcast comes out every Thursday, or roughly every Thursday.
About every other Thursday. Yeah. The next one comes out this week.
Yeah, good deal. And then we have Right Click with Birdman. He has his comes out every Friday. And then I have mine, The Right Philosophy, and the latest edition of Right Philosophy is scheduled to come out tomorrow.
Yep.
On Wednesdays, as always. This is, I mean, it's just crazy to me. And I think at some point I need to tell the story of how all this, I mean, I've told it a little bit, bits and pieces, but tell the story of how we got to where we are and where we're going.
Like a well-oiled machine right now.
Listen, it's humming. And on top of all that, we have a written op-ed that goes out every single week and gets published in like 18 different news outlets. So we're just pretty stoked, and we're growing, and you guys are the reason why. And so I'll just say we are grateful for all of you. We are more than grateful for all of you. In fact, you're the reason why we exist. God can give us a mission, but if the people are out there are not out there, then there's nothing to do. Well, I could sit here every day and just talk into a microphone and nobody's listening. But no, we know for a fact there's a bunch of you that are listening, and we appreciate it more than you could possibly know. So I'm in this number two of the Triple Dipper, Pardon the Pardons. And I mentioned a moment ago that it's kind of galling when you look at what's happening with Trump. Like, for instance, two brand spanking new stories. The first one I pulled off of Just the News. Just the News has the piece that talks about the fact that last night, Judge Juan Merchan chose to not dismiss the case by Alvin Bragg against Donald Trump. He believes that regardless of what the Supreme Court of the United States said, that that case needs to go forward. So now we'll go through the full appeal process of this jacked up set of convictions that Alvin Bragg was able to procure with a novel theory of law, using evidence that is not allowed. The other piece you got to look at, though, before I get into the pardons, because what I'm trying to do is set up the disparity, the two-tiered system of justice. On the Republican side, our candidate for president, now our president-elect, has that case against him, multiple other cases against him, and then don't forget, we just recently learned that, what's his name, Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's boyfriend, who was on the Fannie Willis case over in Georgia, that he was coordinating directly with the White House, and I want to know more about that. Now we have this one. Did you know, by the way, that Trump just had to sue ABC News? Did you know this?
This is a great story.
This is a great story. It actually is. So the other case that's been out there, E. Jean Carroll claims that Trump raped her 40 years ago, and she just decided it was time to do something about it. Funny how that worked out. The New York legislature passed a law extending statutes of limitations, mostly it's believed, just in time for her to be able to do this. So it was basically to get Trump. Trump then gets sued by her. There is no finding of rape, but there is a finding of defamation. Why? Because he said things about her and denied her claims against him, but that was defamation, and she got a multi-million dollar judgment. It's unbelievable. Well, ABC News couldn't contain themselves. They loved it. George Stephanopoulos, who defended Bill Clinton, by the way, who helped tear down the lives of women who Bill Clinton had abused. George Stephanopoulos, ABC News anchor now, said multiple times on the air, like one time he was interviewing Representative Nancy Mace, and 10 times during that one interview, he said that Trump had raped E. Jean Carroll. And he has not. There is no record saying that. He said over and over again that Trump was found liable for rape. Did she not have any regrets for supporting a candidate who was liable for rape? He said this over and over again. Well, Trump sued. Good for him. Trump sued. Guess what? ABC just settled with him for $15 million and had to issue a public apology. Whoop, whoop. Can I have some applause on that? I think we need some applause. Maybe even an explosion on that one. I think that's just, and just maybe some, when it's all over with, can you have some laughter? Can you add some laughter to it too? I think that's a good idea. It's just awesome. Great job.
We should just make that a sound effect.
The laughter and the applause all at one time.
Call it the Stephanopoulos sound effect.
I like it. I like it a lot.
By the way, too, Stephanopoulos deleted his Twitter account after that.
No. Did he go to Blue Sky?
Probably, but yeah, he went out in a silent pouty fit.
You know, I saw yesterday that AOC went on Twitter to announce that she reached 1 million followers on Blue Sky. And somebody else quickly pointed out, and you're announcing it on Twitter because that's the only place that matters.
That's the only place people will hear it.
Yeah, so the settlement, you got Trump settling a $15 million claim. So I'm hoping what that means is he's going to use the money from ABC to pay off all his legal bills.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I don't know how much he spent, but it's got to be in the millions.
Yeah.
Now, let's go ahead and look at this from a different side. So the system of justice being abused in lawfare against Donald Trump, still ongoing. He's having to deal with things left and right, still to this day. And yet, AP News runs a story 3 days ago. Joe Biden commutes the sentences of roughly 1,500 people and pardons 39 more in biggest single-day act of clemency in the history of the United States. No president has ever done what he's just done.
By the way, it's at 8,000 right now.
What is?
His pardons. Joe Biden's.
What?
Yeah.
No, that can't be right. Where'd you get that from?
This is on apparently 65. Well, it's a blanket pardon. 6,500 of them are people that for marijuana possession. So a little bit of skewed there. But the total is technically 8,000 right now.
In the last few days, or has he been doing this throughout the course of his
This is throughout the course of his total presidency.
If you got a news story to go with that, I want to see it. That's what? 8,000? Okay, anyway, bottom line is this. In one day, he commuted the sentence of roughly 1,500 people, which, by the way, commuting a sentence is where you relieve someone of having to serve any more time. You don't necessarily pardon the crime. You don't wipe it off their record, but it does stop the punishment from finishing out. You commute the sentence. And then the other one is actual pardon, where you basically wipe the record clean, as if it never happened. So, wow. Biden said he'd be taking more steps in the weeks ahead and would continue to review clemency petitions. The second largest single day of clemency was by Barack Obama, who did 330 back in 2017. So 1,500 in one day. By the way, this follows, it points out, the broad pardon for his son Hunter, who was prosecuted for gun and tax crimes. And Biden is under more pressure from advocacy groups to pardon broad swaths of people, including those on federal death row, before the Trump administration takes over. President Joe Biden, according to the AP, has commuted more federal sentences than any of his recent predecessors during their first presidential terms. I would dare say it's more than the recents. This is unbelievable. Well, let's talk about some of who got their sentences commuted and or pardoned. How about this one? Story off the Populous Times. The mother of a suicide victim blames Biden for commuting the sentence of a corrupt judge who convicted her son in the Kids for Cash scheme. If you're not familiar with this, there's a judge named Judge Michael Conahan from Pennsylvania who was convicted for taking millions of dollars, $2.8 million. He made $2.8 million in bribes. What he was doing was kids would come before him in juvenile court, but there was a basically like a private prison kind of thing where it was saving the state money, I guess, by running through private sector enterprise as a juvenile jail. Well, if he sentenced them, they got sent there and they got more money for receiving the kid from the state. So he was sentencing kids to incarceration who did not even deserve to have that sentence, and getting kickbacks for it. They called it Cash for Kids. And it's unbelievable. And one of the people who just got clemency is this judge who was literally abusing his position, damaging the lives of kids, and destroying families. So, and then another corrupt judge, a guy named Mark Chiarvarella, in the Cash for Kids scheme, he sentenced first-time young offenders to the institution for extremely minor offenses. Well, in 2010, that guy Conahan pleaded guilty to racketeering. He was serving at least 17 years in prison, but he was released to home confinement during COVID-19. That's such crap. He was released to home confinement. So he's sitting around the lazy boy now with an ankle bracelet on, watching TV and eating with the family and celebrating Christmas when he destroyed the lives of these kids. Well, one of the mothers points out that her son was so devastated by the sentence he received that he was never the same person. He was angry and bitter, couldn't look people in the eye, and committed suicide. And she wants to know why that judge got his sentence commuted. Well, so do I. So do a lot of people. So, by the way, does the governor of Pennsylvania. When we get back from this break, I'm going to play you a clip where Governor Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, says literally that Joe Biden has got it wrong on this, and he can't. And it's causing an outrage among the people of Pennsylvania because this was a big, hairy deal back in 2010. Pardon power. Pardon the pardons? I say not. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, dropping truth bombs. That's what we're doing, dropping truth bombs. So I'm in this section. I'm talking about Biden's pardons. And, y'all, they are making no sense. And, JP, I'm going to be calling for audio clip number two on Governor Shapiro. So there's this, like, this willy-nilly blanket pardon thing. And he did 1,500 in one day this week. More than anybody else in the presidency has ever done. And let's just slinging them out there. Who wants a pardon? All God's children want a pardon. I'll give a pardon. You want some clemency? I got some clemency for you. It's like a buffet of clemency. Just belly up to the bar, boys. The one that caught everybody's attention first came out of Pennsylvania because it caused an uproar. The mother of one kid, a juvenile detainee, her name is Sandy Fonzo. Her son was named Edward. And she talked about the fact that her son was sentenced to a juvenile detention facility, and it ruined his life, and he took his life. It turns out the judge was taking bribes to convict kids because then they would go to a private jail that lived off of money it got from the government, and the more bodies it had, the more money it got. And so this kids for cash scheme resulted in him getting a 17-year sentence, and then he was sent home during COVID to serve it out in his lazy boy chair, I guess. And Biden decided to go ahead and commute his sentence, and the world's looking at it going, why would you do that? Why? It was costing the state nothing. At the very least, he was on home confinement. I mean, just abused his position and ruined lives, and got $2.8 million for it. Well, Governor Josh Shapiro had something to say about this. And he's a Democrat. And by the way, he's also the one that Kamala should have chosen to be her VP. But Governor Josh Shapiro was asked about this during a press conference. And he takes a little time to try and waffle his way into it, but then he realizes he just needs to address it. And he goes straight on. So play it.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the Cash for Kids scandal. Kids for Cash.
Yeah. The scandal in general, or what?
Specifically about the recently. Well, yesterday, President Biden issued a list of people who were.
They're commutations.
Commutations. Thank you. And yeah. So one of the judges involved in the.
Yeah. Look, governors and presidents have unique power to grant pardons and clemency and commute sentences. It is an absolute power. And it is a power that should be used incredibly carefully. I study every single case that comes across my desk where there's a request for a pardon or clemency or reduction of sentence.
Stop there. Stop there for a second. He said that. I think that was a slight. I think that was intentional. I don't think that was an accident that he said that first. Because what we're seeing out of Biden is nothing of the sort. When you have there's no way in the world you can carefully and with great consideration review the details of 1,500 in a day. Didn't happen. And yet, Governor Josh Shapiro is affirming that this is something that presidents and governors have the ability to do. It's part of the powers of the executive branch, reserved solely to those two positions, governor and or president. But he says he does every single one of them carefully and with great deliberation. Now listen to the rest of it.
And I take it very seriously. I weigh the merits of the case. I weigh what occurred in the court proceedings.
And Biden does not.
Public safety and victims and all of those issues factor into my decision. I recognize that those on the outside can question those decisions. as you are here today and posing a question to me as to the clemency granted by President Biden. So I'll offer these thoughts as an outsider, not privy to all the information he looked at. But I do feel strongly that President Biden got it absolutely wrong and created a lot of pain here in northeastern Pennsylvania. This was not only a black eye on the community, the Kids for Cash scandal, but it also affected families in really deep and profound and sad ways. Some children took their lives because of this. Families were torn apart. There was all kind of mental health issues and anguish that came as a result of these corrupt judges deciding they wanted to make a buck off a kid's back. Frankly, I thought the sentence that the judge got was too light. And the fact that he's been allowed out over the last years because of COVID, was on house arrest, and now has been granted clemency, I think is absolutely wrong. He should have been in prison for at least the 17 years that he was sentenced to by a jury of his peers. He deserves to be behind bars, not walking as a free man.
All right. Wow. Good for you, Governor Josh Shapiro. Democrat, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a Democrat.
And people who are listening couldn't see the video, but when he was asked, you could see he kind of took a breath, like looked down as in like you could see his true thoughts on it. And like you said, at first he kind of gave a political, you know, but then he was, you know, I'm going to tell him how I think. You know?
And you know, he said as an outsider, look, he's the governor. He knows exactly what was going on. Yeah. He's been involved in state politics for a few years, and good for him. Good for him. Well, listen, when we get back from this next break, I'm going to tell you this clemency thing, it goes all the way into Alabama. Did you know that we have a commutation of a sentence in Huntsville that has caught some people by surprise? Like you look at it and go, why? Why would you do this? Do we pardon the pardons? Friggin' no, we don't. He doesn't care. He's just putting people on the street because he can. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm talking about Biden's pardons, which is just, this is not normal. If anybody, by the way, the idea that the White House issues a statement claiming it's the largest single day grant of clemency in modern history. Why are they proud of this? The only thing I could say is that they're proud of it because they have no clue the ramifications of what they're doing. So a minute ago, I read you about just some of the ones that are getting pardons. You know, these judges in Pennsylvania, the Cash for Kids, where they're getting kickbacks for sentencing kids to incarceration, ruining their lives, ruining their families' lives, when they didn't have to be and they shouldn't have been, because they were getting bribes for doing so from the private prison that was going to hold them. I got several of these, and here's one that's actually near and dear to home, right? So this is right here in Huntsville, Alabama. In the midst of all of the stories about pardons and the pardons that make no sense, 1819 News has a story that came out today about a former Huntsville pill mill doctor that was sentenced to 15 years in prison. He was his Dr. Shailendra Agarwal. Shailendra Agarwal at one point was the highest prescriber in the entire United States of controlled substances. There's a quote in the back of the article here. Let me go back to it. From the FBI special agent in charge, a guy named Roger Stanton. He said that at the time that Agarwal was, quote, directly contributing to the opioid epidemic plaguing our nation. In other words, he was a player. He was a huge factor. This one guy, Agarwal, prescribed over several years 12.3 million opiates. At one point, he was writing upwards of 80 to 145 prescriptions for different patients a day. I was trying to do the rough math with JP during the break. If he was doing, let's say he was doing 80, the low end of that. If he was doing 80 a day on a regular 8-hour workday, he would have to write, you know it, 10 an hour. 10 an hour. Can you even see 10 patients in an hour to know whether they need an opioid prescription? for pain management. And he was literally listed as the biggest pill pusher in Alabama. He was one of the biggest pill pushers in the United States, period. And there's no telling what he did and how much money he made. But he filled over 110,000 prescriptions. 110,000 prescriptions for controlled substances just in 2012. Can you imagine? 110,000 prescriptions just in 2012. You got a calculator over there? Do me this. Let's go ahead and assume 52 weeks in a year. Divide 110,000 by 52. Tell me what you come up with.
2,115.
2,115. Divide that by 5, assuming he only did work days.
423.
420. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So 423 in a given week. Now, you're there.
Yeah,
you're there.
That's, yeah.
Holy cow. It gets worse. The same guy, Agarwal, who just got his sentence commuted, he was also found guilty of Medicare and insurance fraud for urine drugs tests that were overbilled for 2 years, 2011 to 2013. He made $9.5 million in the overbillings on a drug screen scam. He just got his sentence commuted by Joe Biden. Why? Why? What's the purpose?
I mean, what, he had like 3 years left on his sentence?
Yes.
And, yeah.
How about this one? Let's go. Let's. As long as we're just making ourselves mad, how about this? Fox News, Dateline today. Illinois community outraged after Biden commutes the sentence of a fraudster who had embezzled $53 million. $53 million. So this woman, she was a comptroller for the town of Dixon, Illinois. She was, Rita Crondwell, 71 years old. Over a course of 22 years, she pled guilty. For 22 years, she embezzled money to the point that she embezzled $54 million. Rita Crondwell. She had her sentence commuted, just thrown out. So here's a quote from local officials in Dixon, Illinois. Rita's crime absolutely shocks the conscience, the judge had said at her sentencing, such that a significant prison sentence was essential to reestablish public trust and confidence. And what we've seen here over the last week is just unbelievable. It's a complete betrayal by the federal criminal justice system, said Dixon City Manager Danny Langloss. Langloss was actually the police chief back when they arrested her. He went on to say that the small Illinois town is shocked, outraged, and in disbelief, calling the commutation of her sentence a complete disservice to all victims of her crime, and that it destroys sanctity and trust in the criminal justice system. This is, I mean, what is Biden doing right now? What do you think? What's
I don't know. Like, even trying to play devil's advocate, I just can't really find a good reason. I mean, the only thing I can think of is maybe these people have like connections somewhere in the Biden administration and are like telling them like, hey, you should help me out. Like, but that's the only thing I can think of. I don't know any good reasoning.
Here's what they do. They hire basically lobbyists who get in and say, we'd like to be considered. And they present them as completely reformed. We're just wonderful people. You know, it's been a horrible thing. He served most of his time already. Could you just please? And these lobbyists are then paid by the families or whoever to go in and get in good with the administration. And this administration apparently has a lot of getting in good.
It's even Obama didn't touch nearly as much as Joe Biden did in a day. So it's like, no. I don't really understand the trigger happiness to give pardons.
So I got two stories to wrap this up with. One came out 2 days ago. One came out yesterday. First one from the Washington Examiner, second one from the New York Post. Washington Examiner, Dateline yesterday, 2 days ago. Senator Bernie Sanders believes that President Joe Biden ought to consider more preemptive pardons. Now let's think about what that just said. He's trying to find people who may face problems when Trump gets in office, so he's going to pardon them in advance in case they did something and Trump wants to make something of it. They haven't been indicted. They haven't even been accused. They've just maybe been maligned at some point. Somebody on social media said something, and so he's going to potentially issue a pardon. Bernie Sanders says, well, I think he might want to look very seriously at that. look, that's an outrageous statement. This is what authoritarianism is all about. It's about dictatorship. You do not arrest elected officials who disagree with you. You undertake an investigation. So he believes, what he's saying is, he thinks that President-elect Trump is going to wind up going after people to the point that we need to issue blanket pardons in advance. New York Post, Jonathan Turley, whose legal mind is great, says there are growing indications that President Biden is about to fundamentally change the use of presidential pardons by granting prospective or preemptive pardons to political allies. Despite repeated denials by President-elect Donald Trump that he is seeking retaliation, Democrat politicians and pundits are calling for up to thousands of such pardons. There's little threat of any viable prosecution of figures like members of the January 6th committee and all that. But these use of what they call white knight pardons is what Jonathan Turley calls them, are basically where he's saying, you're a good guy, and I'm telling the world you're really a good guy, and you're pardoned by me in case somebody ever tries to prove you're not a good guy. Unbelievable. He says the next best thing to a convenient collapse of democracy is a claim that Biden's series of preemptive pardons averted it to preserve the narrative. In other words, what they're saying is Biden stepped in, saved the world from Trump because he was about to destroy democracy by going after people. And so I made sure he couldn't go after people. So here's the bottom line on this. Joe Biden has been abusing the pardon process. Abusing it. He has been doing so at the expense of good law and order. Even Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania says Biden flat out got it wrong by commuting the sentences of judges who had sentenced kids in order to get kickback bribes. And then you've got small towns that are outraged because the woman who stole from them for 20 years just got her sentence commuted after stealing $53 million. And then you've got right here at home, you've got a guy who destroyed lives and created addictions and literally was part of the process of initiating the opioid crisis in America, which liberals say they hate. And yet he just got his sentence commuted right here in Huntsville, Alabama, as being the pill mill doctor of the nation. No one prescribed more opioids and committed fraud upon the medical system, the insurance system, than this one doctor from Huntsville, Alabama. And he got his sentence commuted.
Maybe he's pardoning him for Hunter's sake. Hunter needs a new dealer or something.
Oh, my gosh. You know, nothing would surprise me at this point. And so then the other thing is, can he do preemptive pardons? I don't think I would have ever imagined. This is like the reverse version of what's that movie, Minority Report, you know, where they go back in time to try and stop a crime before it starts. Well, this is like preempting the crime before it ever is considered a crime by pardoning so that the crime can't ever be labeled as a crime. Because if you can't indict, then there's no conviction. It's as if the crime didn't occur. It's Biden's Minority Report. That's what we're looking at.
Well, yeah, they want to talk about presidential immunity, but they want to give immunity to everybody that is, quote, a Trump enemy to protect them.
The truth of the matter is this is an abuse of the executive branch, but then what's new with the Biden administration, right?
Yeah.
What's new?
This is par for the course.
This is par for the course. Unfortunately, it's par, and January 20th can't get here fast enough. JP, I think you better take me to a break. I need to, like, just go take a happy pill. Just, like, never mind. I should have said that after that last
time. I was about to say.
Okay. Sorry. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.